Minutes after 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, where for this next hour of programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Good morning, it's time now for Talking Animals on KUCI. All right. Lots of applause, as it should be. That's music by Talking Heads with a tune called Animals. Why not for this last raw? In fact, this is the very final edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. Streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole shebang, the whole nine yards, the whole enchilada, the whole... Well, I think there's something else there in that kind of phrasage that I can't think of. But anyways, whatever it is, it's all broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. Home, quickly, let's not forget, let's not slight our mighty, mighty, that's right, Home of the Anteaters. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. As always, right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI, and use the number. Call us. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we always love to get calls, and especially this is the last hurrah today. So call us up. You can also instant message us via AOL Instant Messenger, and the screen name is Talking Animals. Other ways to be in touch that are less immediate, but still good, still valuable, still hold some merit, are emailing us at talkinganimals@aol.com or via our website, talkinganimals.net. Before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rollicking rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. And I think I would hold the purse for what it's worth. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website, talkinganimals.net, where just about every show we've ever broadcast, 2+ years to, where are we, October, end of October... Yeah, so 2 years and, 3 or 4 months, something like that, worth of programs. They're all archived right there. So any quick glance or otherwise any familiarity with the show will tell you that the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant or some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Brenda Carey, an attorney and executive director of the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement, a relatively new California-based non-governmental and nonprofit, for that matter, organization, quote, devoted to defending all animals to the full extent of the law. Given that mission statement, it's perhaps unsurprising that animal abuse, neglect, and cruelty constitute the Bureau's primary concerns, and consequently, the Bureau's our primary concern today, and we'll hear all about it when Brenda Carey joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our... weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And again, the number here, 949-824-5824. So let's turn for the final time to interesting and or developments in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international stories of note. And we want to call attention to an absurd statement. I'll say we also want to get your comments on, but it could happen. You could call up and say, hey, I have a comment on that story. Wouldn't that be thrilling? Okay? So, all right, let's talk turkey, as it were. Produced by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Once again, how could you start with anything other than a bird flu-related story? So, from the Associated Press, Russian authorities on Wednesday detected a deadly strain of avian flu in birds south of Moscow, and China reported a fresh outbreak among birds in its northern grasslands. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization warned of a marked increase in the chances that bird flu would move to the Middle East and Africa, hitting countries poorly equipped to deal with an outbreak. The European Union announced plans for an exercise simulating a human flu pandemic to improve readiness in case the bird virus mutates into a strain transmissible among people. China's official New China News Agency said 2,600 birds in the northern grasslands had died of the disease. It did not give details of when the birds were found and sought to reassure the public that the outbreak was contained. Goes on from there, but this is sounding scarier by the moment. A couple things here. read a little bit. First of all, a key Senate committee on Wednesday advanced a measure that would achieve President Bush's long-standing goal, or long-sought, really, I guess, goal, of opening a portion of Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil and gas drilling. Quote, this has been a long time coming, said Senator Pete Domenichini from New Mexico, chairman of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. After the panel voted to include authorization of the energy exploration in a budget bill. But the drilling initiative, which environmentalists strongly oppose, still could be thwarted by an issue unrelated to the decades-old dispute, a fight over federal spending cuts. Drilling proponents have hoped the measure would finally become law because by attaching it to the budget bill, it would be immune to the filibusters that have previously blocked energy exploration of the refuge. And it goes on from there, but in a sign of the changed political terrain, environmental lobbyists on Wednesday were talking about threatened cuts to Medicaid and student loans almost as much as the caribou, they say, would be endangered by Arctic drilling. So let's keep an eye on that. And there's actually in this piece a picture accompanying the story with the musk ox that are among the species that roam the Arctic refuge in Alaska. And, of course, the foes of this drilling say it would harm wildlife like the muskox and others. And would do a little to offset the U.S. energy problems. So, thoughts, comments, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. Also, speaking of environmentalists and related concerns, environmentalists sued the Navy on Wednesday, claiming that a widely used form of sonar for detecting enemy submarines disturbs and sometimes kills whales and dolphins. The sonar is, quote, capable of flooding thousands of square miles of ocean with dangerous levels of noise pollution, according to the lawsuit filed in federal court in Los Angeles. The Navy settled a similar lawsuit 2 years ago by agreeing to limit the peacetime use of experimental low-frequency sonar. The new lawsuit by the Natural Resources Defense Council and other plaintiffs seeks a court order to curb mid-frequency sonar, the most common method of detecting enemy submarines. So let's watch that one, too. Okay, now here's, I mentioned this a couple times, and I want to mention it one more time, because it's my last, again, chance to plug this really cool benefit for a really good and important cause. It's the benefit concert for the Harp Seals, and by that, basically this concert, November 3rd at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, the Valley. Phone number there is 818-879-5016. The benefit, the proceeds basically from the benefit concert will be used to educate people about and really combat the annual seal slaughter in Canada. And of course, primarily it's baby harp seals that are slaughtered. So, couldn't imagine a more worthy cause for a benefit. And there's also a silent auction, and they're really getting some cool items for that. But let me just run down the lineup because, you know, there's some pretty cool tribute bands out there that, you know, of course, reproduce the, or replicate, I guess, certain bands, you know, catalog, but stage presentation, etc. And this night is got a great lineup, and then there's some, you know, little bonus that they're dropping in that I'll mention, too. So, the bands are Saturday Night Special, which is Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute, of course, Dreamboat Annie, a heart tribute to Who Show, I don't think that needs further explanation, Led Zepp again, probably also self-explanatory. But, Saturday Night Special, the show starts at 6 with Saturday Night Special, and then each hour the next band goes on. So at 9, it's Led Zepp again. And Carmen, do you say Apicy or Carmen Apicy? That's what I say. Okay, cool. Yeah. Anyways, he's going to actually sit in for a few songs with Led Zepp again, because he's a big animal guy too, it turns out. And there's other musicians that are going to be part of that show that are going to be sitting with some of these bands. And then at 10:30, Boogie Nights, which is just generally a 70s tribute, will be holding for. So it's only $15 to get in. Again, it's all going to help the Harp Seals and protect them against the slaughter and just do what we can. And again, there's all kinds of stuff that various musicians have donated for the silent auction. So you call, again, 818-879-5016. That's the number for the Canyon Club. Tickets through Ticketmaster. And you can also check harpseals.org for more information or email us here at talkinganimals@AOL.com. But really, even if you can't make it, even if you're busy that night, you know, maybe you can go to one of those websites or harpseals.org, for example, and throw a few bucks their way, just because, you know, we really need to see what we can do to curtail, at the very least, if not ultimately halt, the seal slaughter. That is some ugly stuff. All right, it's time for our mid-news quiz. I think you know how this works. It's a true-false question. First person to call with the correct answer gets their choice of prizes, including talking animals, mug, or a t-shirt or sweatshirt. And, you know, since this is the last show, that's memorabilia, I guess, of a sort. So that's a possibility. You know, we've got other kind of cool t-shirts from animal organizations, including one from Paws, elephant drawing on it, saying elephants don't belong in circuses, and various other things from animal groups. And we've got books and CDs from some of our past guests. And, of course, as I mentioned, periodically, we also have a book from Shirley MacLaine, who has not yet been a guest, but that has to be a prize because it's co-written by her dog, who, again, has a very nice literary style. So, and even, you know, if you call in and win and you're not sure about those and you say, hey, how about such and such CD or from one of our other guests or whatever, you know, I might even go and spring for that. How about that? All right, so it's 949-824-5824. The first person to call in, those are your choices. That's your options. And again, later when we play Name That Animal Tune. All right, so once again, I think I've thoroughly over-explained this, but what the heck. Okay, cats, true or false? Cats use their whiskers to feel their way around. So a mother cat will often bite the whiskers off her newborn kittens to keep them from wandering away from her. True or false? 949-824-5824. 949-UCI-KUCI. If you think you know the answer, call us up. You'll get a prize. One of those very prizes we just discussed. How about that, folks? So, okay, great. I always got to check the crazy things here. My God. All right. I wish people would put stuff back to their... It can't get your break here. What the heck? I don't care, though. It's the last show. What are they going to do, throw me off the air? I beat him to it. Okay, so anyways, here's something else that's kind of cool and important. This is part of a long email. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Basically, the idea is these people who were kind of, I think, sort of bummed out based on the election results of a couple, recent major presidential election. So they're driving around, they're doing stuff, and they've, you know, kind of just trying to see what they wanted to do with their lives. Anyway, so on this drive, they found this kitten on their property when they returned, I guess, who had been injured, really badly injured. So an amputation was necessary to save the kitten's life, and they were told that he could no longer be an outdoor cat. So then they ended up adopting Henry. So this kind of, I guess, unfurled this adventure with these people, and they started kind of keeping an email journal or whatever of his, you know, letters he was supposedly emailing and whatever. And it's all been collected into a book, Henry's World, A Three-Legged Cat's View of Human Absurdity, An Email Odyssey. And basically that book is available now, and the proceeds from the book go to Paws, a different Paws than the one I just mentioned. This is a local organization in this case that helps people with AIDS and others with disabilities to keep their pets and have that kind of connection continue. So if you want to just go to henrysworld.org, you can order the book. And it sounds really cool. And again, you know, the dough is for a really good cause. And so why the heck not? All right. henrysworld.org. And I want to be sure, since this is our last hurrah, to mention this one at least one last time. It's the Animal Rescue Site. Again, that's that website that I mentioned a zillion times now, probably, on Talking Animals. But it's the website address is the Animal Rescue Site, of course, S-I-T-E for site, .com. And you can go there, and in fact should, every day. And there's a section on your... on the website that says feed an animal in need. And all you do is click on that, and by doing so, that releases a few bucks to indeed feed or otherwise care for, abandoned, neglected animals. And it's the kind of thing that's gone to funnel dough to help animals affected by Katrina, et cetera. So, and there's no catch, there's no scam, there's no whatever. It's just that there's corporate sponsors, advertisers that through their arrangement with, I guess, being exposed on the website, say, hey, you know, if X amount of people come every day, this is X amount of dollars. So obviously the more people that come every day, the more money that goes to help these animals. And you can go every day, and you should. It takes 2 seconds, and then your good deed is out of the way when you're barely out of your pajamas and had your first sip of coffee. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe you don't wear pajamas, but who am I to say? It's not really my business. But anyway, so it's the animalrescuesite.com. Please go there. Go there right now. If you're listening online, you can still listen and do that. How about that's multitasking, so they tell me. And on a similar note, and speaking of baby seals, which we were with that cool benefit coming up November 3rd, there's another site with the same idea, babyseals.care2.com. And same deal. You go there and just click on a thing that says free click to help. And same idea. Money and resources then are sort of devoted to help with this whole awful seal slaughter thing. So check that out. And got a couple more things here, but let's do... how long is our little thing? Yeah, we'll do one more story. And speaking of the bird flu yet again, and there's not much chance to talk about too many other things, especially on an animal religion. So 75 officials from 30 local, federal, and state agencies met Thursday to plan what to do if a passenger with a communicable disease arrives at Los Angeles International Airport. Officials are devising the plan because health officials fear that a deadly strain of bird flu could mutate into a form that could be transmitted among humans. The 5.5-hour closed-door session helped health, law enforcement, and airport authorities develop a plan for how LAX would quarantine arriving passengers for at least 48 hours. The plan is scheduled to be finished next month. So, let's see here. There's probably one more. Well, you know what? That's probably it. If we have time, we'll come back to something else. But, anyways, if they're, you know, I can't really ask you to send me items for further news. Hold on, don't go away. All right, so we may have a little technological challenge. I won't even get into it because hopefully we won't have that. So, yeah, so while today's the last show, so, you know, you can certainly send items, and I would love you to, but for next, you know, subsequent news segments at who knows when, you can still email us with any comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. And the email address again here is talkinganimals@aol.com. And of course, I always want to take this opportunity to remind you, perhaps redundantly, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site talkinganimals.net. That's .net, and sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows, assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and much, much more. So please stop by and take a look around. The site again is talkinganimals.net. And it's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which is always, of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Ellen DeGeneres with a snippet of a piece called Licking a Frog on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
I have licked a frog once. Well, it was Jeremiah. Here's what happened. He wanted some wine, and so... How many people, by round of applause, knew that if you licked a frog, you got high? There was a fad going around. But... How many people, by round of applause, are just amazed you're hearing that for the first time and you had no idea?
That's why I ask people to... It is amazing to me that that was... How desperate are we to get high? That that's a fad going around, that if you lick a frog... And how many animals did we go through? Here, lick the anus of a mongoose. See what happens. You could get high. I was wrong about the raccoon, yes, but... I can't imagine that even catching on, that you're at a cocktail party with a frog in your hand, just chatting away. Right. That's what I said. I'm like, yes. Another frog. You'd like two frogs.
All right. That was Ellen DeGeneres in the Comedy Corner with a portion of a piece called Licking a Frog, taken from her album Taste This. Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way. And some of you, a subset perhaps, arrived through our show website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that our guest today is Brenda Carey, an attorney and executive director of the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement, a relatively new California-based non-governmental nonprofit organization, quote, devoted to defending all animals to the full extent of the law. Given that's a mission statement, it's perhaps unsurprising that animal abuse, neglect, and cruelty constitute the Bureau's primary concerns, and consequently the Bureau is our primary concern today. So let's hear all about it by welcoming Brenda Carey to Talking Animals. Are you there, Brenda?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks so much for making the time to join us today.
No problem.
So, gosh, even with the thumbnail description I just mentioned, the Bureau sounds like an immensely worthy cause and organization. We certainly aim to travel well beyond that thumbnail description momentarily. But first, I think it'd be useful to find out a bit about you and your background and, you know, where did you grow up and to what extent were animals an important part of your formative years?
Wow. Well, I grew up in southern Mississippi, the area that just got hit by Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, yikes.
And, yeah, I always had pets. I had dogs. From when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and then when I became a teenager, I started rescuing cats. I kept finding stray cats that had injuries and nursing them back to health, and that must be where I got the bug of wanting to help animals and really developing a strong sense of compassion for their suffering and wanting to do things to help them.
And was there a certain, beyond just kind of helping that, but was there a certain, event that sort of served as a catalyst for you deciding to work with animals? A moment, maybe you can look back and, point to where a light bulb went off, an aha moment of, hey, this is kind of, I not only really like animals and I'm helping them stuff as a kid, but I really want to do this later?
Yes, I think that modeling when I was in my late teens, I had thought that that was going to be such a great career. And when I was doing it, I started finding it to be very empty and unfulfilling. And I was spending a lot of time thinking about what sort of career would be more fulfilling and, something more long-term. And I just kept thinking, I think that helping others is going to be the way to feel the most fulfilled with what I do in my life. And when I thought about who needed the most help, animals sprung to mind, because at the time, especially this is in the early 90s when I made this decision, I didn't know of a lot of animal rescue or animal rights groups, and felt as if they were very underserved and really needed, they were the most in need of help. So I think that's That must have been it. I do remember having those thoughts.
Sure. And along the line, was there, because, you know, some people kind of go through a similar process, you know, among a lot of the folks that we've talked to on this show. But in your case, I'd be interested, was there, as you were kind of mulling this over and sort of saying, hey, you know what, the modeling thing, that's fine, but not really what I want to do long term, and what you know, the animal thing seems kind of more worthy and something that's important. But nonetheless, was there still, were you aware of one or more, you know, particularly awful instances of animal abuse or cruelty that sort of became the impetus to more specifically aim you in the direction that you kind of wound up in, or?
Well, I became a vegetarian around the same time, mm-hmm. and I had been reading a lot because I had sort of been thinking in that, those lines, the animals probably were the most underserved but yet needy group.
Sure.
I decided to read, within one summer, I read probably 10 or 15 books on animal issues. I read Animal Machines and The Jungle and a lot of old classics and Animal Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was probably the way that food animals are treated that was the most horrifying to me, because it's so prevalent. And but of course, I'm interested in I'm interested in all animals, and no instance of cruelty and suffering seems to be too small for me to want to get involved.
Sure. Well, let me just let our listeners know, this is Talking Animals on KUCI, and we're speaking with Brenda Carey of the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement. If you'd like to join the conversation, have a question for Brenda, please call us at 949-824-5824. So, for example, Brenda, then when you started law school, were you already thinking in sort of these terms, like, hey, I'm going to become a lawyer, and armed with that knowledge, I'm going to be sort of way more effective at protecting our animal friends and seeing that you know, animal abusers are punished? Or, I mean, was that even part of your thinking then? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Well, before then, it was when I was deciding that I didn't want to model anymore and I wanted to do something more fulfilling with my life. I was in my early 20s and hadn't gone to college yet, and decided to go ahead and go to college with the idea in mind that I would eventually go to law school and be this animal attorney and use a law degree to try to help animals. And at the time, coming from a poor family in southern Mississippi, my family was never, I was the first in my family to go to college and graduate. And I wasn't encouraged by my family or told that they were going to help me pay for school or anything like that. So that's how I ended up in California. Was I heard that you can go to community college in California for free if you're a resident here and you have financial need. So I came out here to California and started going to community college, and I made straight A's and ended up getting a scholarship to a four-year school, which was Loyola Marymount, and graduated from there with a 3.9 GPA. And, I think the plight of wanting to help animals is what drove me the whole way to make those high grades. I made a really high score on the LSAT, got into Bolt, the law school at Berkeley.
Yeah, which is no slouch as law schools go. Yeah,
no,
for
so
sure.
It was, and it all was going really well until I graduated from law school and I found out that all the laws that protect animals are actually criminal laws, not civil laws. So the law degree didn't do me a whole lot of good. And so I started looking into that, and I wrote my thesis paper in law school about other ways to help animals through civil law besides, you know, trying to use anything that would address cruelty, because it's just lacking in that area as far as civil law goes. It's very hard to get standing. It's very hard to represent an animal unless you own the animal personally. And if you don't, and even if you do own the animal personally, the types of penalties that you can get are, in my mind, not anything of what they should be.
Yeah.
This is what drove me to try to look into other ways, and I just happened to be helping someone set up a nonprofit corporation, and I was looking through the NOLO book on that, and it mentioned that it made it sound very easy. It said any 20 citizens can form a humane society, and then that humane society can appoint humane officers, and I thought, wow, maybe that's the way to do it.
That's your path, yeah.
Right, and then when I started looking into it, of course, it was a very, very long, hard road. It took us about a year and a half to get through all the legal hoops.
Mm.
And I don't understand how anybody can ever form an organization like this unless they're an attorney. My husband and I are both attorneys, and it took both of us all of this time of not only doing legal research, but writing all kinds of legal papers, appearing in court, arguing with the Secretary of State. So
we
just finally got our corporate status last December.
So is that kind of when the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement officially kind of was born then?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Now, along the line there, Brenda, I'm interested because it seemed like, as you kind of noted before, that you really did such stellar work in college and then went to Bold Hall, graduated from there, and then you said, hey, you know, as it turns out, what I kind of had in mind to do, it's kind of the other side of the aisle, as it were, in terms of the laws that really govern a lot of the animal stuff. So is that kind of where this whole animal law enforcement academy element came in? Maybe you could tell us what that is and where that figured into your kind of path.
Well, the Animal Law Enforcement Academy is not a Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement project. It is we hope to have an academy at some point in the future. We have training classes that we offer for our officers, but the state requires, if you want to be a humane officer, that you have to get a total of 60 hours of training in animal-related subject matter. And there are two humane societies in California that have put together schools that offer that sort of training that actually give a total of 80 hours of training. And one of them is in Marin at the Marin Humane Society up north, and the other one is in San Diego at the San Diego Humane Society. So that is one portion of the training that a person has to go through in order to be a humane officer. And the other thing they have to do is go to a police academy or something and get the what's called the Penal Code 832 arrest procedures training, because we do have the power to make arrests and we need to know proper procedures.
I see. Okay, so that's kind of that's the sort of authority that is conferred on people then that go through that training so they can make arrests, at least when it comes to animal things. Okay, cool. And we should, by the way, along the way, we'll mention a few other times, but want to let people know, too, about your really cool website. It's BHLE, in other words, Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement, BHLEonline.com. And so it was founded really about a year plus ago, it sounds like, once you and your husband kind of worked through all the hoops, right? Is that...
Right. Well, the corporate status was granted to us last December of 2004, so it hasn't been a full year yet.
Right.
And the way that it works is after 6 months of good standing, then you're able to start appointing humane officers. So we started submitting our paperwork to the court to appoint humane officers in July, and my paperwork was the first to go through. And we have three other humane officers whose paperwork is in the courts that hopefully will come through any day now. But I'm the first one with the power to... make arrests and serve search warrants and that sort of thing within our organization. But we have an awful lot of people besides the four of us who have submitted our paperwork already that have completed the training and are with the state-required training and are currently working on the BHLE-required training that we offer in our training center every weekend.
Cool. And maybe you could kind of discuss, Brenda, the Bureau's sort of chief aim, tying it to maybe one or more of the cases that you guys have already kind of effectively pursued.
Okay, yes. Well, our chief aim is, you know, we chose the word bureau because of one of the definitions of the word bureau is it's a place of a source of expertise in a given subject matter. So we wanted to be considered the source of expertise in humane law enforcement in California especially. And although we've started out here in Los Angeles County, we plan on going county by county throughout the state. And what we do is twofold. One is that we help people get trained as humane officers, both holding their hand as they go through the academy and the PC 832 and then go through our training. And then we oversee them in the field working for us on cases. And the second thing that we do is that we work with existing law enforcement. All of our courses are available for free for anyone who works within law enforcement who wants to get involved in more animal law related cases. And so I think that I'm trying to think of an example that would encompass both of those. I think everyone, every case, of course, that we work on, all the people that we have working on it have been through our trainings. And also we have an animal law guide that I've put together, which is an organized compilation of California animal law. And it makes it easy for anybody, even if you're if they're untrained, if you have the power to enforce law, to then go ahead and issue citations and enforce laws that you might not have even previously been aware that existed.
And,
so.
Okay, and that maybe takes us, Brenda, then. Can you I know there's like certain cases that maybe are at a sort of preliminary enough stage that you probably can't discuss them, but is there one or two cases maybe that already, even in your short time of the official existence, that you've worked on that maybe you could tell us a little bit about, just so we have another sense of kind of how this specifically plays out?
Sure. Most of the cases that we work on don't end up with us arresting someone for some egregious form of animal cruelty, although that does happen. Most of the cases that we work on were more like social workers, and we'll end up going out and giving people a notice to comply, and we'll get a call that someone's has a dog chained up in the backyard and he doesn't have shelter or food or water, and then two officers will go out on the call and we'll speak with the people who own the animal and explain to them the legal standards that as we've interpreted them, and they are that the animal needs to have fresh, clean water 24 hours a day, needs to have nutritious food enough times a day to maintain proper weight on the animal's body, and needs to have a permanent structure that it can access at all times, 24 hours a day, needs to have protection from the weather. We explain all the reasons behind why these are good things for why the laws exist, and try to reason with people. And we haven't had anybody refuse to comply with that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then every time a good case loops to mind, I keep thinking, nope, that's not resolved yet. I can't talk
about it. Oh, really? Okay. Well, there's two or three.
That's the gist of it. Yeah,
yeah, okay, because there's two or three at least kind of mentioned, for example, on the website, which, again, is bhleonline.com, that you guys, you know, certainly did seem to have investigated and worked on. So I don't
right.
know if like the hoarder in the RV, for example, is something that is okay to talk about, or
sure. Yeah, that happened early on this year, and of course did not have the power to make arrests or issue citations. Or I certainly would have issued some citations in this case. It was a couple who had about 60 cats in an RV, and none of them were spayed and neutered, and they were thin, and they all had fleas. And we had to work in conjunction with animal control, because at the time we didn't have the power to go in and seize the animals.
Sure.
And so instead we had to try to get the people to cooperate. And so they willingly gave up 5 or 6 cats a week for quite a while, which worked fine in the beginning, because it was the winter time and I was getting the cats adopted out pretty quickly on the weekends. This was something that just 2 or 3 of us were handling alone. And it was a pretty big ordeal. We would get the cats out of the RV, get them spayed and neutered, get rid of the fleas. A lot of them had to have antibiotics for a week or so because they had upper respiratory problems. And, you know, basically just behave as good fosters and
sure.
nurse these animals to health. And then when they were ready, put them up for adoption. And we worked closely with Animal Avengers, a really great rescue group in town here, and went to their adoption events on the weekends at Petco. And all the animals were getting adopted out. And then in the spring kitten season hit, and there's been so many kittens up for adoption ever since this past spring that we have 10 cats left that haven't been adopted out yet, because they're about a year old and everybody wants kittens. But we're hoping this winter to get the last 10 adopted out.
Sure.
And we're also keeping an eye on those hoarders. And if this problem starts up again, we'll be the first ones there to seize the animals, bring cruelty charges against them, and make sure that they get an order that they're not able to keep animals at all anymore.
And, Brenda, did they face, I'm sorry if I missed this, but did they face any charges thus far?
No, because at the time that this happened,
you guys didn't have the...
We didn't have the power to appoint humane officers yet. This happened
right.
in January,
okay.
and we didn't have the power to appoint officers.
So if you were to face, if this were to happen again with these same people or anything comparable,
yes.
because of your status now, you could actually... file charges.
Oh, yes, and we absolutely would. I was really upset that Animal Control decided not to press charges, and I think this is a good example of why we started the BHLE, is that not only us, but there's so many other people that we work with in the rescue community who have stories of having situations like that that they've come across where it's a horrible situation and nobody seems to be doing anything about it. And they'll contact Animal Control or maybe one of the other SPCAs, and they don't get satisfaction from the officer that comes out. They'll, you know, maybe give the person a slap on the wrist or a good talking to, or maybe even make buddy-buddy with the person who is blatantly involved in some sort of animal neglect or cruelty. And it's very disturbing to see that sort of thing happen. It's just these people whose job it is to enforce the law are just not taking the law seriously. And so this is one reason why we wanted to get a group of people who were, have empathy for animals, give them great knowledge of the law by offering really great training classes in animal law, and then give them the power and the authority to go out and do something about these situations that nobody else seems to be doing anything about.
Yeah, it does seem like, I mean, one of the, you know, sort of running themes on this show and talking to various people is kind of what you just touched on, is that, I mean, well, there's sort of two-pronged problem. One is that sometimes the laws have gaping holes or just no teeth. And then the other sort of related problem is, even if there's a law that's decent or solid, there's just the numbers of cases and problems are so daunting that there's really sporadic at best enforcement. So it sounds like, yeah, one of the huge virtues right off the bat of launching the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement is that you guys can really help shore up some of those holes in enforcement.
Yes, that's what we hope to do. And
yeah.
Another thing that we hope to do, like I was saying, the other prong is the education, the training, and the animal law guide that we put out there. The animal law guide has thousands and thousands of laws that protect animals in the state of California, and they're organized by animals. We got dogs in one section, cats in one section, and I'm actually doing lectures at our training center every month on a different section of the animal law guide. For instance, in November we're doing cats, and in December we're doing dogs. And you'd be surprised how many people, you know, have been working in the rescue community for years and really love animals and come across cruelty situations every day, and they have no idea. Not to mention there's Animal Control people who work for Animal Control who have no idea, even humane officers. They have no idea how many laws there are out there that actually do protect these animals. That, I mean, even the most common animals. But we're going to have a seminar on livestock animal laws in January, and you know, chickens and poultry in February. I mean, there are just so many laws on the books that protect these animals, and they really are very good. They're just not being enforced.
Well, let me remind our listeners, this is Talking Animals on KCI. We're speaking with Brenda Carey of the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement. If you have a question in our remaining moments for Brenda, please call us at 949-824-5824. You know, that raises kind of a question, Brenda. Have you found kind of in the early period of launching the Bureau and starting to investigate these cases that there's been, a certain confusion over what the Bureau is and what it is not, like what it actually has the authority to do and not do?
Yes. First of all, we get people who are either police officers or work with the police department or work in government somehow, and things about talking to them about warrants and this and that. They say, oh, well, you're going to have to get a police officer to get a warrant for you. And I have to laugh, and I say, do you not know what a humane officer is? You know, I would expect a police officer or someone who works with the police department or someone who's in government or a city attorney or that sort of thing to be aware that humane officers, if they are actually a humane officer who received the state-required training and they've been appointed by a judge to be a humane officer, they have the power to serve search warrants themselves. They don't have to go. They have the same power as a police officer, same power as a peace officer. But then we have this the problem on the other side where we have overzealous people who are working within the animal community who think what we do is so great, and I appreciate that, but they'll no one around and tell everybody, oh, yeah, they work with the LAPD. They're in the LAPD. They're a government agency, this and that, and that's not true. We are a nonprofit. We're an SPCA, just like the animal cops that you see on Animal Planet on TV.
Sure.
So, I don't know if people even realize when they're watching that show that the people you're seeing there enforcing the law are not enforcing the law with a government agency. They are an SPCA, and that's the way that it's set up in most states, is that they have relegated the enforcement of animal law to nonprofit organizations. And it's a very strange concept for most people to understand that a nonprofit organization has this sort of governmental authority. But that's the way that it's set up, not just in California, but in most states across the country.
Hmm. And, Brenda, we're probably, of course, just running towards the end of our time, so I want to ask a couple of quick things. Sure. How does the Bureau's funding work?
Well, since we are, you know, a nonprofit, we're a 501c3, mm-hmm. we're not a government agency, we're not government, we don't have any government funding whatsoever.
So it's donations.
We completely rely on donations.
Yeah. And people can donate online, right, at bhleonline.com?
Absolutely. They can donate with a credit card or a PayPal check. Or, you know, we have a lot of ways set up for people to donate money because, yeah, like I said, 100% of our operating money is received through donations.
Yeah.
And also, I am, you know, the executive director, founder, and president of the BHLE, and I work incredible amount of hours for the BHLE every week, and I receive no salary.
Yeah.
We only have one paid employee. She makes $12 an hour, and she works her butt off doing all kinds of stuff, organizing all the humane officer programs, all the rescues, all the investigations. But everybody else who works with our organization, you know, my husband, who's also an attorney and does an immense amount of legal work, we all work for free.
Yeah.
And every penny that comes into our organization goes to supplies, equipment, that sort of thing for law enforcement, actually, you know, gas for the vehicles going out, veterinary supplies for the animals, radios, that sort of thing. It's all quite expensive.
Yeah. And it sounds like the money goes directly to the operations. It's not like any crazy percentage what you find in some organizations where it's, you know, so-called administrative costs or whatever. And you think, hey, what happened to my dollars there? But but the other thing, too, that I really liked, among other ways you can kind of help support BHLE, is that, you know, like a lot of these, you know, animal rescue things, you know, or especially shelters, sanctuaries, you can adopt a dog or you can adopt a chimp. But I love on yours that you can adopt a humane officer. So again, we want to urge people to go to bhleonline.com and check that out. And one last thing, too, and I think we are just about out of time, Brenda, is that we should take a moment and talk about the Halloween party and fundraiser, speaking of money for operations.
Great. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, we're having a Halloween party this Saturday night. And we're going to have a dog costume contest. So I've wanted to do this because I have a little dog. He's a Shih Tzu rescue, and I take him with me everywhere that I go. And I'm always so annoyed that at Halloween I want to, you know, get him dressed up because he looks like an Ewok. And I want to take him with me to Halloween parties. And, of course, you know, you go to a nightclub or something, or even going to someone's house a lot of time, they'll say, you know, you can't do that. You can't bring your dog in here.
Yeah.
There might be people who are allergic or whatever kind of excuses they come up with.
Yeah.
But I wanted to have a place for other people like me who just, you know, love their dogs and love to take them with. And you know how dogs just love to socialize and be the center of attention. And not all dogs, but there's a lot of dogs out there who really enjoy things like this. So I thought that this would be something different. An opportunity for people to come to our training center and get to know us better and see what we're about and have a fun night out with our dog.
Cool. So that's this Saturday, October 29th. And, again, more details and stuff is on the BHLEonline.com. So, Brenda, thank you so much for joining us. It's, again, the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement. Sounds like you're doing really great work, and we really appreciate you making the time to tell us about it today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Brenda, thank you so much.
Take
Good
care.
Luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, again, that's Brenda Carey, the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement, and one more time, their website is bhleonline.com, and you can find out more about that Halloween party and fundraiser this Saturday. So it's time for Name That Animal Tune, and I think you know how this works, so let's just say if you can name this animal tune, call up 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. And you'll have your choice of those prizes that we mentioned earlier in the show during our news quiz. And it's 949-824-5824. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals here on KUCI. Can you name this animal tune? That's the question. All right. Well, if you can, cool. If you can't, that's cool, too. But I'm just going to let it run and just tell you I'm Duncan Strauss. We have reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank Brenda Carey of the Bureau of Humane Law Enforcement for joining us today on Talking Animals. And by the way, there are other great public affairs shows on KUCI, including Weekly Signals with Mike Caspar and Nathan Callahan on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and the OC Variety Hour hosted by Cameron Jackson on Wednesday at 8 a.m. And we offer these types of programs every weekday from 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning, again from 5 to 6 p.m. And again, because my family and I are moving to Florida this Wednesday, I mean, it's, you know, it's down to the count. Today's the final edition of Talking Animals on KUCI. And next Monday, October 31st, Dan Zhang moves into this slot with his show Subversity, which he's been doing off and on at KUCI for more than a decade. So I wish him all the best, and I urge you to join him here in his new on-air digs. Another big final thanks to Anna Morena for production assistance today. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great blues show. Coming up here momentarily on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thank you all very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to... Well, let's see. Let's do something over here. What the heck? What do we got here? This one? Huh? Why not? We're going to keep it to Herb Alpert. I don't care. What are you going to do? It's Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thank you all very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And I want to thank everyone at KUCI for all their cool help and support here on Talking Animals and me. And we'll hopefully pop up somewhere on the airwaves or online or a podcast or just talking to myself in a way that maybe people can eavesdrop. I don't know. That might be as close as we get to continuing Talking Animals. But anyways, we're going to close out this last edition of Talking Animals, as always, with an animal-related tune. This is Was Not Was with What's Up Dog on KUCI in Irvine. Take care. Thanks again. Best wishes. We'll catch you next week. Well, I wish we would. But I'll be thinking of you next week in spirit. I'm Talking Animals. KUCI in Irvine. Take care.
Gas, some oil, spark plug, six pack. Man says that'll be $15.41. I say, well, goddamn, I forgot my wallet, but I did bring my credit card. What a dog.